This is Let's Talk Big with Jane Berger and Jen Hazel. The Owens Community College Campus Read is taking place now and throughout the semester with the goal of bringing awareness of different perspectives through books. The Campus Read book is the New York Times bestseller, True Biz by Sarah Novick. True Biz is a story of sign language and lip reading, cochlear implants and civil rights, isolation and injustice, first love and loss, and above all, great persistence, daring, and joy. Now, sharing passages, topics, and events related to the book is Owens Community College Director of Library Services, Jane Berger, and Professor of English, Jen Hazel.
Welcome to Let's Talk Big. I'm Jen Hazel, and my co-host is Jane Berger. And with us today, we have Joe Duda, a philosophy instructor.
Welcome.
Jane, do you have a passage?
Thought you'd never ask. Yes, I do. From our favorite book this semester, True Biz. This one is on page 205, and it's a little bit different from the traditional passages that I usually choose, but I think it's very timely. This one's called The Cure for You. So since ancient times, hearing people have been trying to cure deafness, with some tactics more successful or harmful than others. Throughout history, swindlers and medicine men have frequently been charged with fraud for their false claims to have cured hearing loss. So I'm just going to highlight chronologically, going back to ancient times, some of the things that they have been tried to cure deafness. In ancient times, an Egyptian recipe from 1550 BC says to inject olive oil, red lead, that's always a good thing, bat wings, ant eggs, and goat urine into the ear that hears badly. This is the earliest written mention of deafness. And then early 17th century, so we're moving ahead quite a bit, herbal and spiritual methods persist. This period is considered the heyday of manual education, so less historical emphasis is based on cure finding, and the use of ear trumpets, which I had to say, what's an ear trumpet? And what we think is that it's like the very first ear tubes that were used. That's when they began, was in the 17th century. 18th century, ear trumpets really gain in popularity. And the variants include double-sided acoustic horn and acoustic headbands. Then moving into the 19th century, harsh chemicals like mercury and silver nitrate are used. Catheterization, trying to reach the ear blockages through the nose. Then in the 20th century, this is one of my favorites, airplane rides, particularly upside down to correct ear pressure. Hypnosis, the first cochlear implants were introduced in the 20th century. And then here we are into the 21st century, the rise of cochlear implants, internal and external device components. It bypasses inner ear to stimulate the auditory nerve rather than amplify sound. Success varies widely, which we've learned from reading this book. And in development is rehabilitative stem cell therapies and gene and genome editing. So while hearing people have attempted to cure deafness for centuries, it's important to note a difference in technological power, age of application, and permanence for 21st century cures, raising questions of ethics and consent. Deaf children are already non-consensually implanted with cochlear implants, but what happens when an infant is injected with stem cells and made hearing, or a fetus is, quote-unquote, edited in your utero? Lots of big things to think about. We have, just brings up some, I think, ethical and maybe, you know, some philosophical questions. Does the medical community have an ethical obligation at all to preserve human, dignity and diversity? I mean, why do we want to assume that deafness is bad and make everyone, you know, hearing?
Yeah, from my experience with this kind of subject matter, there's this really interesting shift from thinking of the medical community, particularly doctors, as being more paternalistic. They just know what's right for you. They know how the human body works, and they're going to make it go back to that way, right? To then what we see, this kind of shift to being more patient-centered, more individualistic, actually. Instead of assuming that there's some kind of average that everybody should be at, it's like, what's best for you specifically? Mm-hmm. And I think that's in part because of some philosophical literature about what the heck is a disability? What does it mean to be disabled? And what's the difference between, say, disability and a character trait? And a lot of the champions of this kind of challenge come from the deaf community, where it's, mm-hmm. it was challenged, well, where am I being harmed? Like, I have this language that no one else can speak. I have a culture that only I know. Those seem great, fantastical things that, that are cherished. And so it's like, well, what are you fixing, right?
Right, because they don't feel they're broken. There's nothing wrong. They, like you said, they're able to communicate. They have their own community. They have a group that they identify with that they get support from. So, we're the ones that are imparting our ideas and values because we think that it's better to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. So it is really an interesting question, and especially I have a specific interest in the genetic mm-hmm. editing stuff. I've been fascinated by that. It always sounded like sci-fi, but every year we get a little closer.
I know.
So it's like, well, what should we do about that? Is this the right thing to do, the wrong thing to do with future people? They don't even exist yet, right?
Right. I know. It is all too much to think about, though, like what the possibilities could be. And you're right. I mean, to me, it does just seem like sci-fi and so far off into the future, but it's not. And I'm sure the research, is to a point where we probably could do a lot more than what, we are.
Well, in a lot of ways, it begs the question, just because we can, should we?
Right.
Absolutely.
And what other implications for things based on because we can, mm-hmm. does that give
right.
us
free license to go ahead and do so.
Right, and change the map of right mm-hmm. human existence based on mm-hmm. what we've previously only dreamed of in the movies that now actually seems like may be possible. And I think this idea of those who are deaf not feeling that they are broken and need to be fixed mm-hmm. is probably a lot of why or what we should consider as like ethical implications to messing so much mm-hmm. with it, because here's something that works for the individuals that it truly affects. And in reality, people wanting to fix from an outside view is I want to fix so that my life with working with
yes.
you is easier versus
yep.
the person that it actually is affecting every
right.
day.
Well, and it's comfort, too, because this is what we know. We know our hearing world. So therefore, that's better. And it will be better for you to join me in my world, and we can communicate so much easier, and it keeps me comfortable. I think a lot of that uncomfortiness, of not knowing and having to make an effort to learn a different way to communicate, it takes time and it takes patience and you have to practice, and not everybody likes to do all of those things. Patience, not something we're wired with, I think, automatically, but just generally, me
mm-hmm.
specifically.
Yeah, well, and like even the book does have a few discussion questions. They use the term designer babies.
Yeah.
That is interesting here. And it's, and really they're like, who gets to make that decision?
Right.
And really what's interesting is knowing what we have learned this year about deaf culture. If that was changed, like me knowing as a parent I could make that change, I don't know, knowing what I know, that would be okay, because you mm-hmm. are taking away something mm-hmm. that could be, like Charlie gives us an example of this community mm-hmm. that she feels a part of, that would be taking away
right
in a way that the possibility of what could be there.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, designer baby is something I'm very interested in talking about academically and anywhere anyone will listen to me, really. But yeah, so there's this question of well, it seems like if I could prevent some illnesses, some like rare blood cancer. So this is one of our first successful, this happened a couple, a year or two ago, 12-year-old girl, incurable cancer of the blood. They genetically edited her, her T cells to attack the cancer. And they said they're monitoring her currently, but she's seems cancer-free so far, last I heard.
Wow.
So that's exciting, but then it's like, well, how far can I take this thing? And the philosophical worries are, hey, we need diversity as a species. Most species need lots of diversity among their members. And, you know, we all look at the same magazines, and we might be, in terms of, like, beauty standards, we might have some skewed perception, so we're going to fall into some trap like, oh, you know, a healthy child's a good child, and then it'll be like, well, blue-eyed child, maybe that's good, or like, they need to be this tall, or, and then we get into, wait a minute, that's a problem.
And if we know history, as many of us do, we know the dangers of starting to limit.
What we look like, where we,
all
of our
yes.
characteristics, so that we're homogeneous and there is no, you know,
variation
within. Yes, we all look the same.
Right. Well, we could continue to keep talking about this, as I feel
could
like
talk real big with this,
right? Like, because I feel like there's more we could say. But I think what we'll have to do is, I think we're going to have Joe back at another time to kind of pick back up this conversation.
Happy. Yeah, happy to talk anytime.
Wonderful. So that'll do it for us today. We better wrap this up. Please listen to Let's Talk Big on Outcast OCCR, Owens Community College Radio, Thursdays at 7 and 10 in the morning and 7 and 10 in the evening. You can also listen to the podcast anytime. Find the Let's Talk Big link on the Owens Outcome website. That's Outcome with two M's. Outcome.com. OwensOutcome.com. Let me actually get that correct. OwensOutcome.com with two M's. On behalf of Jane Berger and Joe Duda, I am Jen Hazel. Keep talking big.
Catch Let's Talk Big on Outcast OCCR, Owens Community College Radio, every Thursday at 7 a.m., 10 a.m., 7 p.m., and 10 p.m., and at various times throughout the week. Or listen anytime on the Outcome RSS feed. Visit OwensOutcome.com for the link. That's Outcome with two M's. OwensOutcome.com for Let's Talk Big.